It is my great privilege to introduce you to a dear friend of mine, Reverend Wesley Putnam. The last three churches I've served, it's been my practice that in the first year, I try to bring Wesley in because of his fresh way of telling the Christian story. 50 years ago, every conference in Methodism had numerous conference evangelists whose job was to be under the bishop's leadership and to hold revivals across the state. Then there were national evangelists. All but a few of those are now gone. Wesley is a conference-approved evangelist and travels the country and the world with a fresh blend of music and drama that makes the biblical story come alive in our day. He was a pastor for 8 years in West Texas and been an evangelist for 32 years. He went to Asbury Seminary where he's been a visiting professor. He has many music projects and CDs, one of which was he took the Charles Wesley hymns and rewrote them in contemporary language. His wife is Felicia, and today she's with their daughter-in-law who should be having a baby about now. Wesley has three boys, and the little girl to be born today is Wesley's 15th grandchild. So when you read of Abraham and Sarah being the father of a multitude, that's my friend Wesley. I expect God to soften our hearts and to encourage us with laughter and a fresh word from God. And if there's someone in your family who's far away from God, invite them to come, a neighbor, a friend, maybe a church member that used to come here that's drifted away. Invite them and tell them that good things are happening at Main Street. Invite them to come hear Wesley. Wesley's asked me to read to you a passage of Scripture before he begins his sermon and song. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children and talk about them when you are at home and when you are away, when you lie down and when you rise. Bind them as a sign on your hand. Fix them as an emblem on your forehead. Write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. When the Lord your God has brought you into the land that he swore to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob to give you, a land with fine, large cities that you did not build, houses filled with all sorts of goods that you did not fill, hewn cisterns that you did not hew, vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant, and when you have eaten your fill, take care that you do not forget the Lord, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. The Lord your God you shall fear, him you shall serve, and by his name alone you shall swear. Do not follow other gods, any of the gods of the peoples who are around you, because the Lord your God who is present with you is a jealous God. The anger of the Lord your God would be kindled against you, and he would destroy you from the face of the earth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Amen. It is a delight to be here. It's a lot like coming home when I get back out to this part of the world, because I've done a little research, and our family came out of the Abbeville area back in the 1700s. And my wife's family was descended from the French Huguenots and the Alstons. So from Charleston. And I figured we could be cousins, you know. But it's great to be here. We're delighted for what God is going to do. What a wonderful, wonderful place of worship this is. I was looking through some of the history of your church, and particularly the building of this wonderful sanctuary, and the day that the organ was dedicated here. The first hymn that they sang was the one that you sang this morning, "Holy, Holy, Holy." So we're just tied right back into history this morning. And I got tickled when they were telling the story of your church, that on the very on that day when they were dedicating the building, that there was a rather rotund gentleman that was trying to make his way through past one of these posts, into the pew and got stuck. and it took two ushers to get him squirted out of there. So, well, I would encourage you, do not try to pass between the posts and the pews, because it could be a problem. But it is a delight to be here. We are on Grandbaby Watch. I'm excited about this day. Last night there was some action, so who knows? Today could be little Catherine's birthday. I hope that you will set the next few days aside and plan on being here involved in these services, and also that you would invite your friends to come. I would encourage you, when you invite your friends, particularly if they're not folks who come to church, do not invite them to come here an evangelist. For some reason, that word, particularly in the secular world, does not have good connotations. But you can invite them to come to your church to hear a storyteller from Texas. And I would encourage you to do that. It's a great way to kind of open the door and get them here. And the stories are a way of communicating the gospel in a way that folks tend to enjoy and understand. So invite them to come. The stories that I tell came out of my work with children at a children's camp. I've been a storyteller at a children's camp for 34 years out in West Texas. And so when I would read the stories, I would ask a very simple question. I wonder what this character would be like if they were alive today. And so tonight you're going to hear the story of Daniel and the Lion's Den, and he's coming as a West Texas cowboy. One night this week you may hear Elijah as a Bronx cop. He just went by. And so he will be here one night. And one night you will hear the story of Jonah, which is a fairly new story that we tell. And I do Jonah as a South Louisiana Cajun. Have you seen Swamp People? Kind of like that. So it's going to be a great time. It will be a lot of fun. And I encourage you to be here and be a part of it. We have a promise that God has given us, and I believe that because there's been a lot of prayer going on, we can expect some good things to happen this week. He said, if my people who will humble themselves and pray, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will do what? Heal their land. Well, folks, does our land need healing? Does, doesn't it? Here's his promise. Lord, we humbly pray, heal our land in this evil day. We cannot stand unless you hear our nation whose heart is blazing with love for the Lord. He will renew us and pour out His blessing. We'll never lose hope. Remember, He's done it before. God's people said, amen. You know, as we heard that passage of scripture a little while ago, one of the things that you're confronted with pretty quickly is a very simple truth. God loves kids. I should hear an amen from a kid on that. He loves kids. He thinks they're awesome. Matter of fact, it says in the scriptures, blessed is he whose quiver is full. It's a symbol of God's blessing. Now, God never defines in scripture what is a full quiver. I figure it depends on the kid. For instance, I am from a fairly large family. I am the second of 10 children. My mama had 8 boys in a row. And then she had 2 little girls at the caboose. She is my sermon illustration on persistence. Now, I grew up and got married, and we had 3 children, 3 sons. And I'm here to tell you that with 3, my quiver was full. Matter of fact, if my 3rd had been 1st, he may have been only. He was the one who, when he was 3 years old, discovered that he could no longer sleep in the bed with us because Daddy had gone out and bought a brand new water bed. You remember those? 3 people just could not sleep on one of those. So he climbed in bed with us, and that first night I slept on a wooden rail, and I said, no, that's not working. So I told him, you can't sleep with us anymore. So what did he do? He went to his mother's sewing cabinet. He got out a seam ripper, and he poked 42 holes in my brand new water bed. Yep, he would have been only. So now all of those children, those 3, have grown up and they've gotten married. And as you heard, we are now expecting our 15th grandchild. I have got so many grandkids now. My favorite Christmas lights are tail lights. Some of y'all know just exactly what I am talking about. But God loves kids. They are a blessing that He has placed in our lives. I remember when my first boy was born, we were living in West Monroe, Louisiana, which is the home of Duck Dynasty. Well, that's where we were living when my first boy was born. And I remember standing in the hospital and looking in and seeing him in the little crib, and I remember he was pretty easy to spot. He was the cute one, and I remember looking in there and thinking, "Wow, look what God has done! Look what an incredible gift He has given us in the gift of life. With the gift of this child, He is saying to us, 'I believe in you, and I believe in the future.'" And even though those children did not come with instructions, He trusted us to be able to trust Him in leading those children to know Him. So this is a song I wrote looking back on that day when our first son was born. I can't believe my eyes. Oh, what a wonderful surprise. He's lying here in my arms. We prayed so for this day, but feared that there was just no way. Now here you are, safe and warm. My heart is full of gratitude. Lord, I sing my song of praise to you. For placing in our home today a baby, this tiny baby. Baby, this tiny baby. My prayer shall always be that he will one day learn to see all that you have planned. Nothing could give more joy than to know you took my boy and made of him a godly man. My heart is full of gratitude. My song of praise to you for placing in our home today a baby, this tiny baby, a baby, this tiny baby. Incredible gift of life. But God has a plan in all of that that He uncovers for us all the way back in the book of Deuteronomy. God has a plan for keeping faith alive, for watering our poinsettias, and giving us lots of good vitamins. And it is firmly rooted and planted in a place called family. Mothers and fathers and grandmothers and grandfathers and uncles and aunts and cousins all working together to plant the seed in the life of the next generation so that they will know and love Him too. That it is God's plan that it happen first where we live. As a matter of fact, if it does not happen where we live, it is not likely to happen anywhere else. Now, one of the problems that we face in our culture today is that we've become a society that is largely learn to depend on experts. If you're sitting here this morning and you have a part of your body that is hurting, there's somebody in Colombia who does nothing but look at that part all day long. I've always thought how boring it would be to be a nose doctor. We just got experts that we trust. If you need education, what do? You trust the teachers, right? They're the ones who are supposed to take care of the education of your kids. Matter of fact, the number one complaint of teachers in America today. Do I have any teachers here? Where are you? You either are or are going to be teacher. All right. If the number one complaint of teachers in America today, lack of participation in the education of children by their own parents. Number one complaint. Because we got experts. Hey, I ran into that my very first Sunday as a preacher. I was preaching in Grayson, Louisiana. And I got to my very first service late because we were expecting our first child and we were having some things that I had to take care of. And so I walked in the door after the service had already begun. They handed me a bulletin. I sit down and I look, and the next thing on the schedule was the offering. Well, I grew up in a parsonage. I knew how to do that. So I called for the ushers to come forward. Well, as luck would have it, I had met one of the ushers the day before when he was there cleaning the church and I was checking things out. So I decided to impress the congregation with how intimate I had already become with one of their members. And I leaned over the pulpit and I put on my very best preacher voice. You know, you can have one of those. And I said, "Brother Frank, would you please lead us in the offertory prayer?" Brother Frank looked back up at me and said, "Nope." I said, "Well, why not?" He said, "What you reckon we paying you for, preacher?" Experts. We got experts. But God didn't give this job to experts. He gave it to us, moms and dads and grandmothers and grandfathers. And look at the way he wanted us to do it. It's a very simple plan. He said, "Here's the way I want you to pass the faith from generation A to generation B. In your home, I want you to live it. I just want you to live it. And I want you to spend your time talking about me." That's what God said. "I want you to talk about me. Talk about me when you get up in the morning. Talk about me when you're going down the road. Talk about me when you're sitting in your easy chair. Talk about me before you go to bed at night. Let me become a common point of conversation around the table and in your home day after day after day. Talk about me." And then he said, "I want you to write my word on your hand." Why are you going to do that? Because in a little while, you're going to go outside and you're going to put that hand to the plow. And you want to be able to look down and remember who gave you the strength to plow in the first place. And then he said, "I want you to put it on your forehead." Why are you going to do that? So when you've got just a few minutes to think, I will be the first thing you think about. That, you know, when you're sitting in Greenwood rush hour traffic and you just got a few minutes, that you'll be able to just roll around in your mind the things of God and you'll be able to think about Him, talk about Him, let it become a normal, natural part of your life. Because we want the best for our kids. All of us do. We make sure they're in school. We make sure that they're in sports. We make sure they're in music. Why, you got a dozen different places that you could follow your kids around all week long this week. And there's nothing wrong with all of those things. But if we give them all of that and we leave God out, we've left them as spiritual cripples. But if we're not able to do all of the other stuff, but we are able to tell them about Jesus and help them to fall in love with God, we've given them what they really need to make it through life. So in all of our giving, let's remember to give them Christ. There are not many lasting gifts to share with those we love. things that grant their greatest wish one day will fade and rust. I find the things that really last are seen with spirit eyes. We give the very best we have when we give them Christ. Give them Christ. He's a treasure like none they will ever find. Give them Christ. He's a friend who will walk with them through their lives. Now's the time. We can't let this generation slip through our hands. Give them Christ. Give them Christ. When you look back across your life to all you gave away, you find the gift with the greatest price had a cost you did not pay. Its value grows through eternity. Its beauty never dies. This gift is ours to give away. We must give them Christ. Give them Christ. He's a treasure like none they will ever find. Give them Christ. He's a friend who will walk with them through their lives. Now's the time. We can't let this generation slip through our hands. Give them Christ. Give them Christ. Give them Christ. Give them Christ. Jesus put it this way. Don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and rust corrupt, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures where? In heaven, where moths and rust do not corrupt, where thieves cannot break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, have you ever wondered, what in the world was he talking about? I mean, have you ever seen a deposit slip for heaven? How do you get your treasures there? I think I have finally figured it out. So, today, when you go over to the Dixie for lunch, I want you to be able to tell the person on the other side of the counter that you went to church and saw your treasure. It's a cool way to start a conversation. So I don't want anybody to miss out on this. Everybody take a moment and turn and look at the person sitting next to you. Do not miss out on this. Everybody get a look, eyeball to eyeball, even in the choir. You guys ain't getting out of this. Check it out. Check it out. You see that? You got treasures. All right, we got treasures all around us. You know what the treasures are? The treasures are the relationships that we establish along the way. That's the treasure. It's your friends. It's your family. It's your God. The relationships that we establish while we were on the way from here to there are the real treasures. That's the only thing that you're taking with you. Everything else stays behind. That's why you never see a hearse pull a U-Haul. We don't need it then, do we? The stuff that really matters is right here in this room with you today. It's going to be sitting across the table from you. I wrote this song as a gift for my wife. And I then put it away after I sang it to her and did not see it again for nearly 10 years. And then I had one of my kids send it to me in a fax. When I was in a church in East Texas. And he called me and said, "Hey, Dad, you know when you wrote this song?" I said, "I do not have any idea." He said, "You wrote it on the day before the towers fell in New York." I said, "Wow." And it's a song about the things in our lives that have ultimate value, the things you cannot put a dollar sign on. And one of the things I remember about the day in New York when those towers fell was the newscast that night. And on the news, there was about 20 minutes where they did nothing but play answering machine messages. Do you remember that? And you know what I remember about those? Not a single one of the people in that tower called their broker. Nobody. What did they do? They tried to reach out and touch their treasure one more time. They called their wives, their husbands, their children, their friends. And they said, I just want to let you know I love you. That was the message over and over again. Because you see, the things that really matter are right here with us. Investing this life in treasure hunting would be a great way to live, wouldn't it? A loving touch, a warm embrace, a gentle smile to start my day, a love that never goes away adorns my life. A quiet walk beside a stream, a time to laugh and pray and dream, and know the best is yet to be as years go by. These are the treasures that I hold. Each day I live, their value grows, more precious than the purest gold they are to me. So now I come to testify, I am the richest man alive. I found what money cannot buy, love's mystery. Such joy and laughter filled our home, God's gift of love in children shone. Can you believe how soon they've grown our legacy? A loyal friend, constant, sincere, a costly gift beyond compare, more lovely with each passing year, God's gift to me. These are the treasures that I hold. Each day I live, their value grows, more precious than the purest gold they are to me. So now I come to testify, I am the richest man alive. I've found what money cannot buy, love's mystery. One day when life on earth is done, and I stand before God's throne, all those I've loved who've loved God's name will be the only fortune that remains. These are the treasures that I hold. Each day I live, their value grows, more precious than the purest gold they are to me. So now I come to testify, I am the richest man alive. Found what money cannot buy, love's mystery. Love's mystery. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for our families, for our homes, for a place where you have designed that we might reach the next generation. Help us, O God, to be faithful to that task. And Lord, as we look back I know in my life I see places where I've failed in that. And I ask you to forgive me and help me, Lord, to even turn those places of mistakes into beautiful places of healing. I pray you would bless our children, even if they are far away from us right now. Bless our grandchildren. And if they do not know you, draw them to yourself. And may the next generation know you and love you and follow you because of what takes place in our lives today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.